regular meeting now. Should we start to
call
the meeting to order?
Yep.
I call the October 17th, 2017 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay, I guess we need to go through the approval for Commissioner Lutton to attend via phone conference. Entertain a motion to permit Commissioner Lutton to attend the October regular board meeting via phone.
So moved.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lutton? You can vote for yourself.
Do I get to vote?
Yeah, you can vote. President Underdonk?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we're there. You're a member.
You can do it. Yay.
All right. Next, we are going to look at the consent agenda, items A through D. They're routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda?
No.
No? Okay, if not, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Oh, okay. Thanks. Okay, so now we're to matters from the public.
Yep. Again, the public's overwhelming.
Okay. Well,
must be doing something right, right?
I don't need to make a little announcement.
No, nope, you do not. You're okay. Good.
Shall we move along to the financial report?
Yes. Carol. We now are 7 months into our fiscal year, and quite honestly, there's not a whole lot of report since the last board meeting. Down just a little bit in the beach and boating area combined compared to last year, but not a lot. And everything is looking good.
Okay, any members have any questions about the financial report?
Okay.
No? Okay. So that's just a more of an information item.
Yep.
So, now the next item is a staff item, presentation of the 2017 Glencoe Lakefront Annual Report.
All right.
Bobby Collins and company are going to do this.
Well, pretty much Bobby Collins, because it's, he's acting in two hats on, as the Director of Recreation Facilities and the Facilities Manager, so we're going to turn it over.
So another very successful year at the beach, you've been down there. Just going to talk briefly about some of the improvements we made to the facility, some of the marketing efforts as we began with our new POS system, some of the highlights from the swimming beach, some of the highlights from the boating beach, some of the feedback results and survey results, financials, and then just talk about what we're thinking about for next year.
Lisa, is it possible for Bobby to get closer to the microphone?
Can you come closer to the microphone?
Sure, can. Absolutely.
Do you want me to do the clicker?
Or you, better,
or you can grab the microphone and use it. You can walk around with it too.
She's not probably going to hear us.
Is that easier?
Yeah.
Josh, can you hear that?
It comes out.
Yeah,
comes
thanks a lot. That's much better.
Comes out, you can walk around. Just the microphone.
So some of the improvements we made to the facility this year, on the beach side, we made our annual repairs to the stairs, on the walls, on the bluff going down. The big project we made this year was the introduction of a point of sale where we introduced RecTrack and a pass system at the beach, getting rid of the old tokens. That was a project where myself, Carol, the parks team, the rec team, it was all hands on deck to make sure with the customer service team that was a really successful launch. And it went down really well. The parks team did a really great job designing a drainage system to make sure that the sun shelters drained of rainwater where we had a lot of runoff, and that was very successful. We painted the railings. We did a lot of upgrades to the concession with a new vendor coming in. We added new refrigerators, new ice maker. We painted the facility, air curtains, really spruced it up, and it looks great. On the boat side, we added new doors inside, new windows. We upgraded some of our rental equipment to keep it in top-notch condition. We added a new powerboat to replace our eldest boat. We added all LED lights inside of the boathouse. We added brand new cabinets to replace the old wooden lockers, really spruced it up, gave more space for the new aquatics and sailing camps that we introduced this year. And then we built some new kayak and paddleboard racks on the side, which is a really nice addition, really spruced up the side, added some extra storage, hence added some additional storage revenue. On the marketing side, Erin did her magic with our traditional marketing, with brochure, with the website, and then with the whole pass introductions. It was really great to let the community know what that new process was, really push pass sales. We did an offering with some beach towels, which was well received. Erin did her magic again with the electronic marketing, social media, really promoting beach users' posts, really encouraging the community to make their opinions felt and sharing their photos rather than us sharing our photos. We did a lot of e-blasts for all the special events that we had at the beach. We updated the website, and then again, we did the Groupon, which attracted some new patrons that may not have necessarily known our beach existed. On the staffing side, staffing level was strong. We had 61 staff at the beach this year versus 44 last year, which was a big increase and really made a big difference on the beginning of the season. The usual, everybody goes back to school once Lollapalooza is over, so we survived, we did a great job. We really increased the level of staff training this year, and it was very noticeable with our audit. We worked with the Wilmette Park District to partner up using their swimming pool this year, and we did a 16-hour lifeguard training at the pool, which really added to the level of training that the staff received on the lifeguard itself. On the boating side, we did our usual U.S. powerboat 16-hour class for all our incoming new boat guards, and then we did additional training for returning staff or camp staff as well. As usual, we introduced cross-training to new staff. We trained lifeguards as boat guards as lifeguards, cashiers we introduced as new lifeguards, cashiers as boat guards, really giving staff additional job responsibilities, happiness in their job, opportunity to try new things, and that was well received too. We added a lot more in-service this year. Lifeguards did a mandatory 4 hours a month, as well as daily in-services. We had our audit, as I already talked about, went really well, lots of compliments. Staff really did a great job on lifeguard training and boat guard training this year. Some of the highlights, it was a very safe summer. No drownings, lifeguards did a phenomenal job, we only had one major rescue. We focused on revenue collection again. The introduction of the new pass system was really well received. It was great for customers to be able to pay with credit cards. The first weekend, I believe over 60% of people paid with credit card, to show you how badly that was needed. The size of the swim area was the same as it is last year, which was double of the previous year. People were very receptive of that, really liked the size of our swim area. We did our usual water testing. We had 7 closures this year versus 2 last year, 9 the year before that. And then our rentals were strong. Our trellis and sun shelters were very popular. Trellis has really gained traction from all the marketing Erin's been doing. People went word of mouth. We had a lot more residents using it for weddings, graduations, events like that. And then our beach rentals, chairs, umbrellas was in line with last year. The Boating Beach celebrated 50 years. There are some of the original boat guards in the top right picture, and that's what our staff looks like today, so a little bit of a change to culture there. Not much, but there's a change. Boat storage was strong. It was above last year. We are at pretty much full capacity. Sand is at a full capacity. Rack space is almost full. Lakewood rentals were strong, kind of in line with last year, slightly less due to the weather conditions. Very dependent on the lake state. So if it's rough weather, rentals are limited. The aquatics camp was a really great addition this year and one of the highlights for staff. Everybody who did it had a great time. It's something we're looking at developing in the future. We rebranded the sailing class to a sailing camp, and that was really well received. Boaters were very happy with the level of support they received. One of the major jobs that our boat guards do is help boaters lift their heavy catamarans up to their winch spots. So that's one of the main jobs. On the survey results, some of the key things that came across was people feel it's a very safe, friendly, customer-focused facility. Some of the areas of concern are parking and concessions as usual. This has kind of been a common theme from previous surveys. And then our focus out of this, these survey results, will be to continually focus on cleanliness and building that customer satisfaction going forward. Financially, strong year again, ahead of budget. Boat storage was strong. Rentals were ahead of the last number of years, less than last year, but way ahead of the previous years. Daily admission again was in line. Pretty strong financial year overall. Future planning, we're looking at obviously hiring a new beach manager, which will hopefully be soon. They'll also be the WATS manager. We're doing some upgrades to the north side of the beach with our racks, with our lockers, just sprucing that side up, looking at how do we improve that overall look that it currently has. We're looking at guest passes. We're exploring those options for our residents for next year. We're looking at how do we expand camps, build on that momentum of the aquatics and sailing camp, and then we're going to constantly improve that staff training and that customer service training that staff get.
Really quick, before you move on to question and comments, I just want to emphasize a few things because I don't think he gave enough credit for the whole team effort for that point of sale. That was not an easy project, and that's something that's been like 5 years in the making to get that point of sale, credit cards. And it was a lot of heads getting together, everybody working together to get to a solution that would work. So yeah. The parks team, trenching, Carol buying all the equipment, the registration team, Aaron doing marketing, the facility and the rec team coming together to think through that whole process. And while there was a few hiccups at the beginning, I've never seen an implementation like that go so smoothly. And especially with our passes, because it went from tokens to passes, that's a huge deal, and it went very seamless, and that's thanks to the marketing effort and the registration desk. The ladies at the front counter did that seamlessly. So the big kudos to that, because that is something that was needed and wanted by our customers. We didn't have to send them back up in town to get cash to come in for the day. So, and the byproduct is that we'll be able to track our attendance, when they're coming, who's coming, so much better. So in the future, we'll have better look at trends and how to staff, which is a huge plus on our part. I can't read my own writing. Aquatics camp was a great addition, and it worked out where they could go during almost the whole day from like 9 to 3. Mm-hmm. So it was a great camp option for both working parents and parents at home. So that was a great addition. We had a new concessionaire, and we talked about the people, you know, want the concessionaire. Again, she was phenomenal. The food was phenomenal. That's a kind of a hard one to really win, because people are allowed to bring their own food down. And as long as we allow people to bring their own food down, the concessionaire, it's going to be hard to always have that open and staffed and fast enough for the food service. But I thought that the improvements in that area were great, and we did a lot of improvements in the concession stand to make it more inviting for our concessionaire to come in. So, you know what, I think it's...
You know, the first year is always tough. You've got to learn what the community wants. You may think they want something, and then you realize really they don't want something, or they may. So things that she thought were going to sell didn't. Things she was like, maybe it will, sold really well.
Like what?
So like slushies and ices and ice pops and hot dogs and wraps went really well. Popcorn, things like that didn't go as well as she thought. Really for her, figuring out the labor. Beginning of the season was really tough with the weather.
Yeah.
And that's really the biggest challenge here, is because you're staffing for either it being really hot or really cold and somewhere in the middle, and you're trying to figure out, so you get swamped, you get nobody at all. So the labor cost is really what's going to kill you on the concession. So she's figured out a lot. We worked with her to get her some trellis parties. So she was actually the vendor for some of the trellis parties. So she used the kitchen, which was a really nice add-on for her. Great to grow her concession and her catering business. So I think she'll build on that for next year and be a little more successful. This year, the weather was a little bit unpredictable.
And exactly. We're going to look at ways we can tweak that for have our campers do lunch down there and things like that to help with that also. So we're looking at that. So overall, and then there's a lot of improvements done to the boat side. Obviously, the weather was very challenging this year. we had a very, very challenging, and so when you see the financial, the how we came out, and that's phenomenal considering compared to last year we had such phenomenal weather. This year was really, you know, rainy, cold, unpredictable. So kudos to Bobby and his team. And obviously the number one thing is that, you know, we had a very safe summer, and for the incident that we did have, the staff were on top of it and followed protocol. So kudos to him and his team. So nice job, Bobby. Okay, questions.
Yes, Bobby, how many days or patron days do we have campers on the beach from camps outside of Glenbrook, not outside of Pittsburgh camps?
So we would have a Monday through Friday, starting in middle of June through the first week in August.
And my question is, do we see a lot of them? Do we have 1,000 campers from outside of Glenbrook?
Not a day, but probably a good 500 a week.
Oh, that's a lot. Great.
Yeah, so we get a lot of the park districts, so like the Mundelein's, the Gurney's, the Northfields. We get our camps go there a lot, obviously, but a lot more of those West Wheeling, Franklin Park. Really, it's a day trip. They come and spend the day with us. So we're a very popular destination for camps.
And we did a big push last year, right, to our through IPRA to have camps come to ours because it's a unique setting, very safe setting.
So do those camps use the concession as well?
They can. It all depends on their policy. Some of them have where they'll bring food. Yeah. Some of them will have like the campers are not allowed to use the concession. Some of them will be a free-for-all and they can do whatever they want. Yeah, so it's the majority of them bring lunch or the campers will bring their own or they'll order in. They don't. I'd say maybe a quarter of them would maybe use the concession. It all depends on what their policies are.
Yep.
I read with great interest the challenges you and your peers face getting enough employees, summer employees in this area.
Yeah.
And as I was reading, I was thinking, well, it's not going to probably get better.
No.
It's probably going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the solution is. But I did notice that we went from 44 to 61 so our challenge is even greater because we've increased quite significantly the number of bodies down there. But also, specifically, as a second question, boat guards in 2015, we had 13, in 2016, 25, and now 27. Can you just, I'm not challenging that at all, I'm just curious what is creating that?
It's a really great question. So if you look at those numbers, when you add up all those different positions, it's like 97 different positions, but we only had 61 employees. So what we do is if somebody can be a lifeguard and a boat guard, they can do two positions, so we mark them down there twice. We still had 61 physical people who worked at the beach, but there was more like closer to 100 positions. So we had people who would be a boat guard last year, but this year we would have taken them 20 hours boat guard, 20 hours as sailing camp. So now we've taken them away from those 20 hours as the boat guard, and we found somebody else to fill in that position because we're still offering that still level of service, but we had a lot more campers and we had them doing other jobs as well. So that's why we've absorbed them this year.
In addition, I believe, is that last year we didn't have enough staff, so we had a lot of overtime. We had too few staff. We couldn't have the service we wanted. The bathrooms weren't being cleaned as much. So we purposely hired more staff so that when people went on vacations, people went to concerts, we didn't have to be such, you know, we would allow vacations where in the past we had so few staff. So we over... Exactly. So we overhired. So that doesn't mean maybe they only wanted to work 20 hours instead. So maybe there were more staff working 30 hours as opposed to 50 hours. So the number is kind of skewed that way too. In addition to that, we had more to offer like camps and rentals and things like that.
Probably needed more boat cards because you have a more active boating program because they're working with the campers.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Exactly. So we didn't have an aquatics camp last year.
Yeah.
So those were every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. So we had to find those staff. Mm-hmm. And we also had to make sure we had enough staff on during the days. The big difference with recruiting this year was we actually had the staff recruiting other staff. So what we did was we reached out to the more leaders in the group and asked them, can you talk to your friends? So we had three or four main staff members at Nutrier who would get 10 of their friends and bring them in and we would interview them. So we found that they do a better job recruiting than we do.
Yeah.
So we really rely on that a lot.
That's smart. And no abandoned boats.
Yep.
That's one of my questions.
We are very excited about that.
That's unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thank you. So that gives us some additional room where we're able to grow that storage revenues.
Yes.
Some of them looked abandoned. I think Bobby should work on that for next year.
Some looked abandoned.
Some of them looked abandoned. That's not, we can control.
They're still paying rent, our boat fees, right? Yeah. Any other questions?
Since our programs are so successful, especially on the boating side, do we need more rack space or boat storage space?
It's a good question.
Do we want to explore that?
It's something we can definitely explore. One of the challenges you have is as you grow the level of storage and the amount of operation on the beach, that challenge grows even more exponentially as you go on the water because they can go so far away. So you have to start adding additional resources, additional boats. You have to be, the safety element comes in there. So some of the other districts that I talked to, they've got a couple of hundred paddle boards at their district. And if you have 50 of them on the water and a storm comes through, you really end yourself in a lot of trouble really quickly. So we want to make sure we balance between providing a service safely and accommodating everybody, because you don't want to find yourself in a situation where you're out of your depth and you can't control the resources you have to safely take care of people. That's one of the really balancing acts.
And in addition, it also affects the swimming area. So the more paddle boards you put in, the more effects on the swimming area.
It's hard to find that right balance.
I have a question for Bobby and Carol, but I wanted to comment on growing it beyond what you can safely handle. I was on the beach one day as a storm was coming in, watching our beach director in one of the boats with an assistant and another boat moving around, panicking because we definitely had a boat out on the water we couldn't spot, and calling to the other beaches and trying to track this person down. And your commitment to getting that handled was extraordinary. And I'm sure that it aged you a bit.
That's one of our main concerns. That's our top priority at the end of the day, is safety is the number one. So we work with the other districts along the shore. We talk to the Coast Guard a lot of the times, just asking them what's going on there. You know, if there's a storm down there or if they've seen something going on. We are paranoid about safety at the end of the day, and we really will make all efforts to make sure that safety is top priority, ahead of revenue collection, ahead of keeping people happy. If there's a situation we're not happy about, we will say, and we have got ourselves yelled at because we have said no to rentals. Because they don't realize that if you get 30 miles an hour from the west, it's going to push you 2 miles into the middle of the lake and we're not going to see you.
So the question I had was, I'm not as concerned about the increase in the number of staff we have. I want to make sure that the increase in man hours has a correlation to our increased revenues over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So whether we had 44 employees last year or 61 this year, how do the man hours track?
Great question. So I think the labor costs are the things that are going to give you the really good indication there. Our labor costs were pretty much in line with what they were last year.
Okay.
So what happened last year was we were utilizing those staff 40 hours a week, every single week, burning them out by the time August comes. Now we were more like 25 to 30 hours for staff, and we were able to keep people fresher as the season would go on, which is the ideal situation where we're not burning people out. So our labor costs were well within budget and in line with last year. So there was no increase, spike in labor costs, even with the addition of aquatics and sailing camp.
The biggest increase would be in training costs, because we're training more staff, but that's well worth it in the long run.
Some of the country clubs on the North Shore typically don't staff their pools after Labor Day either. And then we found ourselves with some delightful weather in the beginning of September, and they reached out to park districts that have indoor swimming pools and colleges that have indoor pool and swimming programs, and asked if they would contact any of their certified lifeguards who would be interested in coming over. I'm just wondering if that would be a pool we would consider tapping for future late summer, early fall work.
Absolutely. So we do look. The problem is we train our staff a very particular way. So if you bring in a staff member who's worked at a different pool and they don't know your...
Or worked at a pool, not a lake.
The operating procedures, you know, if you have a missing child and that person's new to the job, they're not going to know what your standard operating procedure is for that missing child. So it is one of those challenges where if the staff you get early and you train well, their performance is so beyond what people who come in late who don't have that level of training, and the staff who get trained well stay, the staff who don't get trained well don't stay. So it's a careful balance because pools are pools generally. You know, they've got similar features. Beaches, knowing how deep our swim area is, knowing that if it's sand or rock underneath, knowing where the currents are, knowing where the trouble areas are, knowing your clientele that comes to the beach, that is something that you build with experience and training. You know, we put the staff through probably a good 30 hours of training before they sit on their first chair. So that is a lot of training to understand the facility, what happens, our rotation, how to work with other guards, what our emergency action plan is, where does first aid, where does the ambulance come in, where do we bring somebody in the case of the situation. So it is a much more challenging environment than some of the lifeguards at pools face. Just because there's those other elements you can't control.
And which means that I would not take someone from a pool and bring them down after Labor Day and put them on a chair in ours. It would be a false sense of security, because it not only would hurt the swimmers.
Unless we had worked up a pool of candidates that had rotated through our system during the year.
Yeah, one of the challenges is that our certification is for a waterfront-specific certification. All those pool trainings that they get don't include that. So we actually go through a different certification process that's approved by Poderma that we talk with them very closely about, given that it is a waterfront versus a pool. So we have to be really careful on that.
And this problem is not unique to us.
Yeah.
The weekends, there's probably two unusually very warm September weekends. And Bobby immediately called up and down the lakefront to see what everybody was doing. Wilmette, Evanston, Chicago, Highland Park, Lake Bluff, we were all in the same boat. We have no lifeguards. Everybody's coming down to our beaches. So we did the best that we could on that weekend, which is that we brought all staff in that we could to manage keeping the bathrooms clean, to enforce some of the rules. We contacted public safety and said, you know, we're expecting a really large crowd. We're going to have a parking problem. We're going to have people coming down the ramp. Can you help us out with that? Which they did. We do not charge admission after Labor Day. We do not, because we no longer have guards up. So we made the decision to keep the bathrooms open. And even in those instances, we had so many people down that the bathrooms weren't up to the condition that we would like them to, and people were complaining. And it was a free service we were providing. So we made the decision to make sure to manage it. But we realize the risk. It's scary when you go down there. But that's after 8 o'clock, we leave also. People go and swim in the water, and they swim at their own risk. We put an extra signage up. We put extra staff patrolling for rule violations, things like that. So,
just one more real quick.
Yep.
When you do your new hire to take over this job, one of the things I'd love to see in the report, which I don't think I missed, I don't think it's in here, is absolute numbers. So absolute numbers, a chart with how many resident passes number that we sell non-resident.
That's absolutely
resident, instead of just dollar amounts, which I think was helpful, it would be good for us to see that.
We could just compare it to last year, to just frame a reference. This year, you know, with a new system, comparing apples with apples, so next year we'll definitely be able to look at giving additional.
Yeah, we'll be able to give a lot more information. That'll be nice.
Can you give us just an estimate of how many individual passes you think we've got?
So,
family?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Passes, like swipe passes or daily admissions?
Or how many passes in general?
Passes in general, just because I'm looking at the rates, and so our individual rate is higher than all of us around the community, especially here.
Correct.
And our family rate is more in line. So that's why I'm wondering, do we sell a lot of individual?
So the family rate is?
The family rate is 106.
Oh, you're talking about the passes, sure.
Yeah.
Yes, so we generally sell a lot more family passes. So it was in line with last year. We actually reduced the resident rate this year. So revenue took a little bit of a dives probably on par with last year, but because the revenue came down, we were putting ourselves more in line with Winneka.
Yeah, we compared it with Winneka and next door. So we were trying to be cheaper for our resident rates. We're cheaper than the non-resident rates of Winneka.
So it's 76 versus 60. Mm-hmm.
For the first person.
Yeah. Okay. And our services down there are generally more.
We also compare ourselves to a lot. They charge a parking fee as well. There's a parking permit that you pay for the season. And that one, you actually look at the non-resident is high. And resident's high too, but non-resident's very high for their parking permit. Right. So when you compare apples with apples, we're still pretty competitive. It's just sometimes it can be a little deceptive when you see what you're actually including as well.
Right.
I had one question. Anybody else have other questions? We had a bit of a challenge. Oh, Josh has got some comments too after me. A challenge with a certain pipe. Mm-hmm. And I understand that we've pretty much resolved that. Maybe, at least, is that something you could bring us
up? Oh, sure. It's in the report, but yes, we are working with
the benefit of the press and the public.
Okay.
Thank you.
Doing it for the board, not public, the press. But the pipe will be removed in early November. They're working out all the logistical details for that. They're going to be relocating the pipe closer to the boathouse, which will be, you know, if it ever exposes again, boy, the boathouse is in deep trouble. So in that, when that occurs, we will be taking, they will have to take some of our boats, racks down, storage lockers and things, and we will be rebuilding them next spring with assistance of the village. So that problem will be going away. The pipe will be removed, and we won't have that issue in the future.
Yep, my understanding that will also make maintenance easier.
Yes, well, we're going to look at actually buying a piece of machinery and leaving it over on the boat side. What happens is once we do the initial spring cleanup and spreading the sand, we take the equipment away, and then the way they have to get the machinery right over, they have to build up a sand bridge. So we're not able to bring that piece of equipment as easily over after the season starts. So we're going to buy a piece of equipment, leave it on there, so we'll be able to smooth out the sand, you know, easier and faster in the future, and we won't have to worry about the pipe being there, but breaking the pipe, you know, with our machinery.
Great. Now, Josh, I understand you had some questions?
Yeah, I only have one question and a couple of comments.
Okay.
First, I had the, I guess, misfortune of being on the beach during two incidents this summer when EMTs had to be called. And I wanted to just specifically commend and call out the training and professionalism of the staff that I saw in both cases. One was an injured staff member, another was an injured patron, and you know, Jack Dietrich in particular was amazing. And Bobby, the staff and the training you're giving them are just very impressive, so keep that up.
Thank you.
Along that line, in terms of the injury incidents, it became apparent in the second incident that I was at that the 911 dispatchers, now that they're not in Glencoe anymore, have absolutely no idea where the Glencoe water plant, the Glencoe beach, or the Glencoe boathouse are. And I don't know if there's any, you know, sort of pre-season training or proactive work that we can do, but it was very frustrating to not be able to explain where the incidents were to the dispatchers.
Josh, yes, we are working with the village on that. They actually had, we talked about that. We were actually talking earlier this week about that, is that ways to train the new Glenview dispatchers where some of our park district sites are, that now that they're not as familiar with them. So we are working with them on that.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you. Third, I just wanted to again mention that the staff was very helpful in dealing and helping us boaters dealing with that pipe. Really appreciated that in a difficult situation. And then finally, my question, Bobby, now that you have this, you know, the pass system where you know who's there, the Lutons were really trying hard to beat the the most frequent visitors to the beach. So I'm hoping you can update me on where we stand in the ranking.
Yeah, you're in an advantage because you have four in your household. So it's between you and Andre, I think.
I'll take every advantage I can get.
All right. Any other questions?
I'm not having any more kids, though.
Okay.
Okay. Andre's going to start bringing the grandkids.
We're very proud of your work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Nice job.
Is that the completion?
Yep.
I have a slightly unrelated question, but seeing that Paul is not here this evening, I would consider asking Bobby and you. I noticed that the PACA Center rentals were down for, say, birthday parties or facility rentals in this building this year, 2017 over 2016. Have we determined why that might be and what we can do to get that trending up again?
Well, there's, if you want to answer, there's two different things. One is we're using the building more for other programs. Would you agree to that, Bobby?
It's becoming apparent that there is less available rooms. One of the things with birthday parties is you have one big birthday party that skews your numbers, because you can have like a $2,000-$3,000 birthday party, bar mitzvah, and that will skew your numbers, and you won't get that party the next year as well. So it's a challenge to keep. They're not just a bunch of $200 parties. It's a $2,000 party, a $200 party, a $500 party. So we're looking at how to grow that. Paul, I know, is focusing on certain types of rentals to make sure, because there's more demand for those birthday parties. There's a lot of different facilities offering that. I've had a lot of people wanting to do it at Watts, which has been interesting because of that room. Paul is definitely looking into that, and you'll see fluctuations month to month because of, we just had a big bar mitzvah this weekend, which may have been a similar one to we had last month. So it is something we watch closely. With birthday parties, there's not a high frequency, so you may have a little bump because of there's just not being a party.
You know, like people want the gym, it's really hard to get the gym. And for the boys' party, so that is
a problem.
Real estate is at a premium right now. People are looking for space, and we have a lot of programs going on.
That's great.
All right.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Next item is discussion of removal of breakwater sculpture.
Okay, as you're aware, I think it was like last summer, we did a park tour, and we pointed out to the board that the breakwater sculpture on Old Green Bay Road was deteriorating, and that it's a recommendation of Federma to either fix it or remove the sculpture. At the time, the board, which is a different board than now, indicates to the staff that they did not really want to fix it. The cost to fix it would be more than they felt they would like to spend. So actually, President Underdunk undertook a very considerable amount of time, so nice he took it on as a champion of this sculpture, to try to find a new home, but really with no positive outcome. But in that whole search, he contacted the artist. The artist came out, was talking to us about what it would take to fix it and things like that. Well, then I got a call or email from the sculptor about less than a month ago saying, you know, I know the sculptor that you've been trying to find home. You can't find one. He was trying to find someone, can't find one. He knows the urgency of that we would like to take it down this fall. So he said, you know, if you would like, I can give you a proposal to take down the sculpture. I would take it, I would put it into storage, and then I would try to find a new home for it in the future. So what he would do, I'm assuming fix it. I don't know if he would, what he's going to do with it after that, but he's going to put it into storage until he could find a home for this. There he is, a couple places, but it takes time and expense to do that. So he did provide a proposal to me. The original one, I went back and negotiated, and I apologize, it wasn't done by the time the board packet went out, so I wasn't sure if I could get it reduced. But he agreed to waive his fee, and so for the total cost of removal would be $3,720 to remove it, take it off site and move it. And then I'm sure Chris and his team would have to do some restoration on that site in addition to that. If we were to do the same thing, remove and dispose, and that would be disposed of, I mean, we would scrap it. it would cost the district approximately $2,000 plus then additional restoration costs like we would have. So there's about, you know, $1,728 difference. So I'm looking for, it doesn't have to be a formal vote, but I do want everybody to weigh in on it and say what they would like to do. First of all, is to...
We would rather spend almost around an additional $1,000 to perhaps have a useful life again, or save that extra $1,000 and just see it's back.
$700, yes. And then, and if you want to remove it. So I guess there's questions. Yes, you're okay with removing it from the site. And then the second question is that which option would you like to go with? Would you like to staff just, you know, take it down, or would you like the sculptor to take it down and reuse it again? Have it maybe be in another sculpture garden someplace?
The artist donated it, right?
No. What?
Did the artist
buy it? Yeah. No, we didn't. The artist did not donate it to us. Someone bought it, had it installed by their corporation from what we can tell from the history, and then when he retired there, he paid to move it and donate it to the park district on that land, not the sculptor, the original owner.
And those and that individual and his family are no longer?
They're no longer. Right. Yes, we can't. Yes, locate them. So?
I'm in favor of having it removed.
Well,
that's my first thing.
Okay.
I'm not going to miss wanted to go on record saying that. I'm willing to go along with the board consensus if they felt strongly about allowing the sculptor to take it away. If the board is ambivalent but would like to see it removed, then we go with the cheaper route. It depends on how passionate the other board members, including Josh, feel about possibly giving this sculpture another life somewhere else, possibly sometime in the future, or just scrapping.
Dudley? Josh, you want to go?
Sorry, Josh. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to step on anyone.
No, go ahead.
I support having it removed based on the staff's recommendation that it's not in good condition or easily repairable and it's not safe. That's the, you know, the assumption that this whole thing, the whole discussion is based on, I believe.
Correct.
I don't think we should be in the business of destroying artwork, so I would support allowing the sculptor to remove it, even though it's somewhat more expensive.
Stephanie?
Well, I know Dudley, you've done a lot of research on it, so I just wanted to see what you thought, because I don't have much background on the discussion.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about...
Well, I've had the benefit of some advice from the Ryerson Library at the Art Institute. The sculpture itself is considered regionally significant, but certainly not nationally significant. What's interesting, it's more important from a standpoint as to the material, the Corten steel, than it is so much the artistry of the artist. And it does reflect a certain time in the evolution of modern sculpture. The other thing I wanted to mention about the sculpture is that it's not well positioned for the community. It's buried. I very much support that, you know, we either, you know, get rid of it or we need to move it. It's not really identifiable. It's what people in the arts planning world call plop art. It means that it was just plopped down someplace without providing an overall context or even proper viewing. So I'm very much in favor of this thing. It's not working where it is. Most people don't know where it is or that it even exists. If you go there, it kind of blends in with the background. So, you know, I think and it has some safety issues, so I think that needs to go as well. On top of that, I'm very sympathetic to the artist wanting to hold his own work and perhaps recycle it someplace else. I'm not super passionate about it. I think it would be nice.
So do we want to be $1,700? How nice do we want to be?
Yeah, well, it's a policy.
It's tough.
recommendation. I don't have the more I work with this, the less excited I am about it.
Well, did we ever say to him, do you want to pay the extra money? I assume that was the question.
Yes, he did not want to go any lower than that.
Because I thought his estimate seemed quite high. This man, these men that he's going to hire, of course, I'm not on board with this at all, but these men he's going to hire, I just thought it was sort of amusing.
Well, it's
remember, it's prevailing wage.
Yeah, it's prevailing wage. So you got Crane. He's using three men. This is not unrealistic. So he doesn't want to pay out of his pocket for these three men to move it. Doesn't want to pay out his pocket for the crane.
Okay.
So he's willing to give his time, which I thought was, you know, the right thing, the appropriate thing to do. So, you know, that those fees are not outlined with what.
Don't look at me. I've been in this business for three generations. We have a truck over there to be gone before we woke up tomorrow. So I shouldn't say. No attachments there.
So you want to just go around the table? We know Josh said he would pay to have Tinsley take it away, so. Dudley, what do you think?
Start with me. I agree with Josh. I don't feel overly sensitive to the sculptor, but I think it's a compassionate thing to do. We're decommissioning a piece of public art. And instead of saying went to the scrap, we can say it was returned to the artist with the chance of finding a new home. And we sound mighty nice.
I feel Lisa does not agree.
Listen, one of my kids is a professional artist, so I'm really torn about this.
Man, $1,700, they'd be yelling here right now.
$1,700 is a lot of money. It is. So I wish the artist had come to the meeting and pleaded his case.
I never asked him to.
Well, it's hard for me to judge how interested he is in the piece. You know, is he like, well, you know, I'll take it off your hands?
No, I think when I talked to him, he was very passionate about it. He's like, you know, I would love to take this back in. I would hate to see it, as any artist wouldn't like to see something that's, you know, out there sold. So I think, you know, he would have came and said that he was passionate about trying to find a new home for it. You know,
I think Dudley's input on this would be the most interesting.
And I think my presidential prerogative is I get to go.
Did he? I think this is one of the largest pieces he ever done. And we remember that from our conversation.
We're spending money to remove it anyway. So I kind of agree. Instead of just putting it in the trash, let it live.
But I
guess
I
would. Sustainable.
Think that's the movement we're going in that direction.
So the consensus is to
allow the artist
to take it out for the price of $3,720.
Right.
Everybody agree?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, great. All right, thank you for that direction. Staff
report.
We're unbelievable.
Staff reports, Carol?
I really have nothing more to add than what's listed there.
So it's half the motions are yours today. So
yeah.
Okay. Recreation, Bobby?
There was some really great special events in the last month or so. We did an inaugural disc golf open of lots with 54 participants. We had just had on Sunday the mother-son dance in the gym, 76. Boathouse closed on Sunday. The Watts is in full swing, getting ready to booking ice and getting staff ready and getting ready to open the day after Thanksgiving. I would like to thank the Wild Child in town for sponsoring that disc golf competition, $500 worth of prizes.
Awesome.
I'm sure you really did.
Wild Child.
So they're on Vernon. School day off, we had three run in the last month, which have all been all type of capacity. Programs are in full swing, staff's getting ready for budgeting, and are doing winter brochure and programming as we speak. And we're getting ready for the fitness center, so we're doing a lot of planning, organizing, and continuing with that process.
All right. Chris?
Any specific questions to the report? If not, I'll just say.
I have a question for Chris and Bobby.
You have a question?
I have a question
okay.
for Chris and Bobby. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking about our teens, mid-teens and older teens, and the skateboard park is being reinvented as a parking area. And I'd like to make sure that you guys continue to do as great a job of maintaining the disc golf course that we have, and that you would bring to our attention if you felt there were any appropriate enhancements to be made, any major freshening or upgrades or expansions of that in the future. It's one of the few things that we have.
Can I speak to that? Actually, they have, I don't know if you saw Aaron's new signs up each by each hole, if you haven't. Chris, in addition, is buying all new baskets for it. And actually, staff has talked about, because we've heard that there is a possibility that people would like us to expand that. So that is something we're going to look at to see if we could put another, like, nine holes on the other side of the street going on the linear parks. So that is something we're looking at. We actually did a staff outing. And played disc golf for most of us for the first time and had a wonderful time. Yeah. And so we really.
Some of us. I don't know.
Did you not like it?
Aaron hit me twice.
And some of us had a good time.
Do you remember our disc golf outing?
So anyway, but yeah, so you're exactly right. Actually, the staff feels very passionate about disc golf all of a sudden too. So it is something that we're definitely looking into.
And Chris, reached out to the Glass family about possible expansion.
Well, we will, because I remember you saying that we might have to bring you in on the discussion on that one for the expansion of the next nine holes once we get through that planning phase.
Someone's property?
No, it's all on ours. The original was donated, so, but yes, that is true.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, Chris?
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
There was a girl, the young girl who came last.
Yes.
Did we follow up on that?
We are going to do it.
Okay.
It has not been done yet.
Okay.
The tennis backstop, right?
We're going to probably put it out in the spring because by the time it gets here, it's going to be pretty poor weather. So it is something that we're looking into.
But she knows. Like,
we haven't followed up with her yet because we were looking into it and seeing how much it was and things and make sure I had money budgeted, which I did in the tracking initiatives.
Something you purchased.
So can you make note? Could we send her out?
The Binghams, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Good question.
Someone asked me, I know you guys told us why we didn't do fall fence, but I forgot.
Oh, I can tell you. So the history of it is when I first came to Glencoe, 5 years ago, the event was kind of falling apart. The Park District took it over, made this great event. GYS and GHP helped with it. And then through the years, it expanded to a beer garden. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, they wanted to move the event in a different direction, which means they wanted to open a beer garden throughout the whole day of the event. And the Park District Board felt very strongly that the youth events part of that portion should not be with the beer garden. So we talked to them at length trying to get them to move the beer garden portion later. They did not. So at that time we said, okay, that's fine. You guys can do, if it was originally your event, you guys can do the event and we'll back off and we'll do the kids a different part of it. So then, so they did it on their own for 2 years. They moved it from Hawk Park, they moved it to the village court there, Lemon Green. And then this year, at a very late notice, they came to approach us and said GJHP wasn't doing it with GYS, but the Park District want to. Well, by that time, our brochure was already to print, and it was too late for us, for all the planning, to jump into that. So without any notice, they decided not to do it. Without any notice to us. If they would have even contacted us a month earlier, we would have done it. So with that said, is that we're already looking at whether we should add that back into our portfolio, which Rotary, which I'm a part of, wants to do some kind of micro brew fest and wants to work with the Park District on that. Kind of call it Tails and Ales, kind of a take on with, like a dog event with microbreweries, kind of different than other people are doing it. So somehow work with them and kind of resurrect Harvest Fest, and whether that means we take out a different one or we just allocate more to special events. So instead of doing Harvest Fest, we decide to do Merry and Bright, which is the day before Thanksgiving, to kind of space out the special events. So we'll see how that event goes this year, if it's gold or not. But we are looking at putting it back in next year by ourselves, doing ourselves maybe with Rotary.
I would say that I think members of the community are probably unaware of who has sponsored the Pumpkin Festival, Harvest Festival, Halloween Festival over the 15 or 20 years that I stood out there selling pumpkins. People were unaware of it. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback and upset families when they realize that they're not going to have the wonderful preschool and early grammar school games out in Cock Park and the opportunity to get pumpkins and faces painted.
Actually, they didn't do that part of it last year either. So GYS didn't, I won't believe, in GHB. They just did the beer garden, maybe some bounce houses. I don't know. I wasn't out there. So.
Right. So once they went the route of the alcohol sales and they pushed that back, the first year they did that, they had me as bar manager. And I told them 2 hours into the event that it wasn't being handled according to the laws that I had been trained to keep to, and that I was going to recommend to the village that they shut them down during the event. So I feel very strongly that...
Pardon me? Yeah, but they still moved to Wine Green 2 years before that, so that had nothing to do with their decision to do it there,
So I would like to make sure that we do whatever we can to try to restore some sort of harvest slash Halloween festival.
Well, we're still doing our Boo Bash, which is was totally always separate, different. So this event, Harvest Fest, would be end of September type time frame.
There's two pumpkin days and GJKs to do it.
No, GYS always did it.
Nope, because I had to work on it when I was on the board of GJKs.
Oh, okay, so a long time ago. So then it's been evolving.
In and out of this.
Cycled out, so.
Yeah, you might be right.
Might have been at that time. Well, there you go. So we'll resurrect it next year. It's a little different kind of flair. Okay. Chris?
Great construction weather. Beautiful outside. We've had a little bit of rain, but things are going well. Lisa will cover that in her report. Fitness center is moving ahead. Seasonal preparations at Watts are moving ahead as well. So new floor has been installed there. The facility's been painted. Some new blinds are coming to the program room. We're in the process of replacing some doors, so it's just shaping up to be a great fall weather-wise.
Well, the kids love the construction. I hear about it every day.
Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious.
So they start saying it every day. I love the construction. Every day.
You should come by when they're doing the kids all stand on the fence. It's like a little chain gang. So it's awesome.
Oh,
it is fun. I think the construction workers like it too.
Yeah,
so.
She thrills, you know.
Yeah.
Chris, do you think the fitness center is still opening?
I'll cover that, but yes, definitely.
Okay.
All right. Erin, do you got anything?
Everything's in my report. Gearing up for fitness, new depth off, lots of special events, fall, winter for sure. We're busy.
Okay.
Do you do all your own graphics and everything too?
What?
Do you do all your own graphics?
Yes.
You're talented.
Thank you.
Okay.
She's very talented.
Great. Okay. Safety committee and.
It's all good. We're all.
It's all good.
We're doing great.
Okay. Now we're down to the executive director's report.
What everybody wants to know is the park projects.
Yeah.
Yes, the fitness center is scheduled to open on time. So what on time means is December 1st, because we did not want to open the fitness center until the parking lot's done. So the fitness area construction is going, it's scheduled to finish like November 15th. If we're on schedule to finish at November 15th, we'll have the equipment delivered on the 17th, so we'll be ready to open the 1st. Based on, because we want to make sure we have parking. So the parking lot, the substantial part of the parking lot is supposed to be done December 1st. So we'll be running a special that will say, you know, if you sign up now, get December free, because we know December is a hard month to open. So we'll do kind of like, it's a soft opening. So we'll get people in the door, holidays is less people. So if you join now, you'll get December free on that. So we are scheduled to do that. I believe this back park parking lot is scheduled to finish October 31st, and then they'll then move to the back. So it's going very well. We'll have the pathways finished. We will not do the plantings until spring. Okay. So the staff, Chris has been doing a great job, and Bobby too. Our you know, recreation team, we pull in. If there's something happening construction-wise, on Monday, Bobby was running around with the bus dropping off staff remotely so we can park our cars. So our staff has been really flexible in their parking. And Bobby and Bill and Anthony are there directing traffic and say, no, park over there, and he'll pick you up in the bus. So, Chris is doing a great job keeping everybody on task and on the schedule. So thank you for that. We are also redoing Watts basketball court. So we're grinding it down, putting a new base on it. So we're working with the school district over there at Watts. So that, yeah, so that will start Monday, correct?
The right. Fence went up this Monday.
Yep. The signs. So that's going as, and then we talked earlier, is the beach, the boating side, you know, water main project will begin in November. So they're in charge of that whole process. Other than that, I think it's just pretty much basics. Things we were hoping that Josh would be here so we could take a picture with our gold medal finalist plaque, which we are very proud of. So next meeting, we'll get with all the commissioners. We want a picture, and then we'll put that up. I think that's really about it. Please make sure you have on your calendars the committee meetings for the first Tuesday of the month, with the exception of January. We decided maybe you guys wouldn't be around January 2nd, so we scheduled that for January 9th. We are also, I know.
I'm not here. I mean, I'm happy to call in.
Okay.
I'm on the text.
Okay. That would be great, because what we're going to do is we're going to ask for a special board meeting in order to stay on schedule, believe it or not, for our playground. We're going to ask for approval of those designs at that meeting.
But you'll
see the first, but you will see the first design. We'll have a community meeting on December 5th. That's when we'll see the designs of all the playgrounds, have the community input. So we'll be presenting two designs. People can comment on them. Then we'll go back and make changes. So really, the January is the changes we made, and I can go over those changes before you leave on vacation. Okay. Or if you're, you know, we'll talk about closer to that date so that you feel comfortable with the designs before we do that. But that's usually by that time, it's kind of a preliminary thing that we're trying to get through. So.
And we have to do it that day.
Yes, in order to stay on schedule.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And that's, again, January 9th?
Yes. January 9th, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, believe it or not, we work back from, we want to start those two of the playgrounds by April 26th. So in order to do that, if we delay it 3 weeks till the next board meeting, then it would go into May to tear them down. So we would like to stay on that schedule if at all possible. But at one point is when we show those preliminary playground designs and you're like, oh, this is way off and we're going to have to start, we probably have to delay it anyways. But we think you'll be pleased. We've had a great meeting with Altima New already on those designs. All right,
okay.
That's it.
Are we ready for the discussion of action items?
Yeah, I don't think we have much discussion on these. It's really approval because these have all been covered in our
through
committees.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if there'll be much discussion on them.
I have a question on F, and I can wait until then.
Which one?
F. The amount in auction, and I don't know.
F.
I remember F.
Which is F?
The bluff.
Oh, the bluff. Yes. It is a little bit more because we did talk to the village and ask them if they would like the included in the study the bluff behind the water plant. So that went up a little bit because of that.
But they're helping us.
They will pay for that portion.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's only between $2,000 and $5,000, but they'll be paying for that portion.
Great. Oh, $2,500.
Yeah, it's not very much.
Yeah
for that section. But it's something, and it's included in there, so it's not a lot of money, but they will be paying for that portion, correct? Good catch. All right.
Okay, you ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Action item.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes?
I'm about to turn into a pumpkin, I apologize, but if assuming we can live with it according to Robert's rules, I can provide my approval for A through H. Now I've reviewed these items offline.
Okay. We probably can't make it official because you're not here to vote, but we have a quorum anyways and we have enough votes, so
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
And we know your direction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yep. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, Josh.
Bye. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Okay. All right. So, action item A, I entertain a motion to approve resolution 874, truth and taxation as presented.
Second.
So we had you did the motion and Lisa second.
Lisa second. Okay. Discussion. No discussion. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Next is item B. I entertain a motion to approve the health insurance recommendations for 2018 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. No discussion. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, item C, entertain a motion to approve the engagement letter for audit services with Lauterbach and Amen as presented.
So moved.
Okay, second. Discussion? No discussion.
Commissioner Boren?
Call.
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, item D. I entertain a motion to approve the Financial Policy and Procedures Manual as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Only thing I want to say is it's great to have that document. Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, item E. I entertain a motion to approve the credit card policy as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, item F. I entertain a motion to approve the Glencoe Beach and Bluff Restoration Feasibility Study for $71,750 plus expenses with the contract to be executed by the Executive Director as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. We do want to remind everyone that the village is participating in this.
Yep.
Roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. And item G, entertain a motion to change the date of the December 19th regular board meeting to December 12th.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Discussion. All in favor? This doesn't have to be roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Yes. Okay, good.
Okay, and item H, I entertain a motion to appoint Lisa Shepherd, Executive Director, as our designee, and Carol Messenger as alternative delegate to the IAPD annual meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Opposed?
Let's see, other business.
I just really suggest that make sure you have the calendars for those meeting dates.
For those meetings, okay. And no executive session?
No executive session.
Okay. Okay, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second. Recommend. So moved.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed?
Nice.
Okay.